This morning we have an opportunity to be able to look at the Word and see that God has a desire and a plan for our lives. It's a plan of blessing and prosperity and hope. There are a lot of times in our lives, I think, where we face times and it seems like maybe God isn't even there for us. And it seems like He doesn't have anything for us. And it seems like He's up in heaven doing His thing and we're kind of here by ourselves doing our thing. Sometimes we feel a little bit of disconnect. But the truth of the Word remains. And as long as we stand on the promises that God has for us, we're able to endure even in times when our emotions would tell us differently. Even when our emotions whisper to us and say that, that God doesn't have anything in store for us and God doesn't have a plan for us and He doesn't have a hope for us or a future for us, that He doesn't have anything. We're able to stand on the Word of God and proclaim the truth of the matter is God does indeed have a plan for our lives. He does indeed have hope in store for us. He does indeed have a future. He has prosperity. God does indeed have a lot in store for us. He has a plan for you and for me. Turn in the Old Testament to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, it's one of the larger books in the Old Testament. Isaiah is right before it, and Lamentations, and then Ezekiel are after it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they're all pretty long books, so it's pretty easy to find right about the middle of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 29. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to start in verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. It says, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Here we find this truth of God in speaking to the Jews. He says to them, "I have a plan for you. I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. He says, "I have a plan for you and for your life." The context of this is really interesting. The context of this is very, very interesting. Notice in the one verse, verse 10, it says, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back." This is written by Jeremiah to the exiles who are people who are slaves and captives, basically. They had lived in Jerusalem. But Babylon, a great nation at the time, Babylon came in and took these people from Jerusalem and took them to their land of Babylon. Okay, they took them there. The people that were taken would include Daniel. Maybe you've heard of Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. That might be something that you've heard before. Those are people who were taken out of Jerusalem. They had lived there all their lives. They were taken out of Jerusalem and taken to Babylon. So these are people who do not live in their own homes. They do not live in a place that they call home. It'd be like somebody coming in and taking you out of Rockford and taking you, I don't want to say a place because if you're from there it might be offensive, but taking you someplace else, okay? Taking you someplace else. And that's the place that you're going to be. And so the people who are there, who aren't living in their own homes any longer, God sends a letter through Jeremiah to them, and they are wanting to be able to go home. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? They want to go home. They want to go back to the land that they know. They want to go back to the city where they grew up in. And they want to go back to the home that they have. Sometimes families were separated because some people were left in Jerusalem to live there. So families are separated. They want to go back. And God says, 70 years I have in store for Babylon. So for 70 years, these captives are going to be in Babylon. It's kind of cruddy news, isn't it? I mean, realistically. God says for 70 years you're going to be in Babylon. That's not the news that they were probably hoping to receive from the Lord. But the thing is, God doesn't leave them hopeless. He doesn't leave them in a position, in a situation where he says, you are without hope. But instead, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans for a hope and a future. They're plans to prosper you and bless you. They're plans in which you will be blessed, and you have a hope and you have a future. Even though right now you have to live by the consequences of your choices. And quite frankly, that's the reason that they are in the place that they are. These exiles had chosen, Jerusalem and Israel had chosen for themselves to not follow after God, to not follow him. They chose for themselves, they made decisions that would go against God and the things that he had for them. And so God removed that position of blessing that they had been in and allowed them then to be attacked. Not that God forced it to occur, but allowed that to occur. And Babylon came in and took them away. God says, you've made choices and there are consequences to your choices, but the good news is I have plans for you. I have plans to prosper you. I have plans to give you hope and a future. And so through that all, in the discouragement of their lives and in the disappointment in which they lived, God still had for them hope. And he still had for them a plan for their lives. Too often, I think we act like there is no plan for us. That there isn't anything that God has in store for us. But this truth that we see that God brings to the Jews is a truth that's for us as well. You see, God has a plan for your life also. He has a plan for you, a plan to bless you and prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And you are allowed to be obedient to that plan or not. God has a plan for your life, and you are allowed to make the decision of if you're going to choose it or not. It's not a situation where God has a plan for your life, and so that's the way it has to be, and you have no control at all. But rather, God allows you the decision to be able to follow that plan or not. God gives you the decision, he gives you the ability to be able to decide if you're going to follow through with that plan or not. But God's plan for you is great. God's plan for you is great. God's plan for you is also a plan where his desire is that you would have eternal life. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes kind of looking at the state of man or the condition of man. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now turn over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that man being Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. You see, the truth of the matter is we sin. That is the truth, that's the situation, that's the case, that's the place that we find ourselves. We all sin. And the consequence of sin is death. The consequence of sin is death. But now let's look at Romans chapter 6. Because remember, God has a plan for us. It's a plan of hope. Well, if death is the only hope, that's not much of a plan. God has a plan of hope and a future for us. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. And that's the truth every time. The wages or the result of sin is death. Because of our sin, the result of that is death. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. By our own sin, the result of our lives ought to be death, and not only a small death, but death eternally. That ought to be the result of the sin that we have. However, because of God's great love for us, He has given us a gift in Jesus Christ in which He has paid that sin penalty. He's paid for that penalty of sin, which is death, by dying on the cross for us, and has made a way by which we are able to have eternal life. He's made a way by which we're able to have eternal life. And so even though we mess up a whole whack of times, right? Even though we mess up a whole whack of times, God's desire is that we would still have eternal life. And He made a way for us through Jesus Christ. He made a way by which our sins could be forgiven. And so instead of ending and having an eternity of death, we have the ability to have an eternity of life because of God's great love for us. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter is right near the end of the Bible. You'll find Hebrews and James and then 1 and 2 Peter. And then three books of John and Jude and Revelation. But the John and Jude are all real small. 2 Peter chapter 3. Remember, I talked about the fact that God has a plan for us. And we talked about sin, and we talked about the way that God, because of His love for us, has given us a gift in Jesus Christ whereby we could have eternal life. Here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we find God's plan or desire for us. We find that which God wants of us. It says, do not forget this one thing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's desire is that no one would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. God's desire is that no one would perish. His desire is that everyone would come to the place where they would have eternal life rather than perishing eternally. That's the desire, that's the plan that God has for us. It's a plan that He has for us, and it's a plan of hope. It's a plan of hope for us. But again, ultimately, we're the ones that decide whether we're going to follow that plan or not. We're the ones that decide whether we're going to follow in that plan that God has for us or not. His plan for us is that we would have eternal life, that we would not perish. The opposite of perishing is living, correct? You have a banana? It's 3 months old? It's been on the counter for 3 months? You've had that banana before too, huh? See, I've had that banana before too. It perishes. It dies, and it's gross, and it turns yucky, and it smells, and it's yuck. The opposite of that is health and wholeness and life. Correct? God doesn't desire that any of us would perish. His desire is that we would have life. That's the desire that God has for us. His desire is that we would have life. So when we talk about God having a plan for us, and it's a plan of hope and a future, and it's a plan of prosperity, the plan that God has ultimately for us, and not only you and me who are here at North Kent today, but for all of the world, God's desire and plan is that we would not perish, but instead have eternal life. And God displays that plan to us and shows us that plan. And he says, here's the way that I want this plan to come about. Here's the way that I've made it possible for you to take part in this plan. Go back to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we find a verse that kind of leads us, and we're going to look at a number of verses in John, that lead us to the point of understanding and realizing this plan and desire that God has for all of mankind. Not only us who think that we are special if we've become believers already, but for all of mankind. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Jesus is speaking here. And he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So remember, we just looked at a verse where it said God, in 2 Peter 3, God does not want that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here in John chapter 3, verse 16, we find that God loves us so much. God loves us so much that he sent his one Son, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He sent him so that whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God sent us his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would have an opportunity to follow that plan that God has for our lives. God desires and has a plan for us that we would live forever, that we would have the opportunity of eternal life. That plan comes to fruition and fullness through Jesus Christ. That plan comes to fullness through Jesus Christ and our belief in him. Now let's look at some other verses in John. John chapter 10, verse 10. Remember in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future." Not only does God desire that we would have eternal life after his Son Jesus Christ returns, and knowing and recognizing that doesn't mean that at this point, as long as we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we will not die and will never die. Recognizing and understanding that God's plan of eternal life is one that he has set out and laid out. Last week we talked about the kingdom of God, and we spent some time in 1 Corinthians 15, which talks about some of that timing of that Jesus Christ is going to first return. And then all those who are in him, whether they've died or whether they still remain alive, at that point they're going to be changed or raised to life again. So as I talk about eternal life, I'm not attempting to insinuate that as long as you become a believer in Jesus Christ that you will never face or see death, but rather that the eternity of your life and your existence would be one which either would be eternal death, as it talks about in Revelation 20, if we've not accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and made him Lord of our lives, or one of eternal life, that which God desires for us in Jesus Christ as we've made him the Lord of our lives. And we'll talk about what that means in a minute here. But throughout the book of John, we find not only that God desires for us to have eternal life, but he also desires for us and has plans for us that are plans of hope, that are plans of goodness. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Here he talks about, Jesus talks about having life and having it to the full. Having life and having it to the full. Are there days that you live in which you say, you know, I'm alive, but I don't feel like I have life to the full? Anybody have the flu yet this season? Our whole family pretty much has already had the flu. Those are days that I looked at that and I said, wow, That does not feel like life to the full. When you're laying on the couch and you've got a sore throat and a headache and you just don't feel good, that doesn't feel like life to the full. You see, God has a plan and a design for us in which His desire through Jesus Christ is that we would have life and have it to the full. And so even days when we're sick and don't feel very good, we are able to have hope and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that God's plan for us is sure, that God's plan for us is certain. And even though we're going to face bumps in the road and we're going to face times of life that are not fun, whether because of physical sickness or emotional things that we deal with, that God has a plan for our lives, and it's a plan of hope. It's a plan in which He has a future for us. It's a plan in which we can recognize and know that at the coming of Jesus Christ and life eternal, we're going to be in a position and a place in which we will have life indeed completely to the full. Let's look at some other verses in which Jesus talks about just some blessings that there are from God through Him. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says He's the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to God except through Him. Later on in John chapter 14, in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus promises peace for our lives, peace that He gives that only He is able to give. It's a peace that's not like what the world gives. The world gives peace that's temporary. The world gives peace that comes through different means like alcohol and drugs and inappropriate relationships. That's the way that the world gives peace. Those are not long-standing. They do not last. Jesus gives us a peace which is long-standing, a peace that allows us to deal with all the things in life that we deal with, to be able to stand and stand strong so that we have life and life to the full. In John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11, Jesus again is speaking here, and He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You see, in Jesus Christ, we also have joy and joy complete. A joy that far outweighs, again, the not lasting joy that the world offers. But it's a joy, and it's a joy that's complete. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. I don't know if you remember, but as I read through Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14, after it talked about the fact that God had a plan for our lives, after it talked about that, It said things along the lines of, "Then you will seek me and you will find me. Then you will bow and pray to me and I will hear you. Then you will do these things and I will be there." You'll call upon God, you'll pray to Him, and you'll seek Him. That's a position and a situation in which God doesn't say, "I'm not listening to you. Even when you call on me, I'm not listening to you." But rather, God knew and recognized, He understood that the Jews weren't going to turn their hearts until 70 years had passed. So it's not a situation where God said, "You know, for 70 years, I'm never going to listen to you. Even if you turn your hearts completely to me, I'm tuning you out. I'm tuning you out." But rather, God realized and understood that it was going to take them 70 years before they turned their hearts to Him. That it was going to take them 70 years in Babylon before their hearts were at a point where they finally turned to Him. They came to Him, they prayed to Him, and they would seek Him with all their hearts. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says this. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. To him who knocks, I'm sorry. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, in these verses, we find our responsibility. In these verses, we find that which we are to do. God has a plan. God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for the lives of the entire world. Even people that you look at and say, wow, they never have a chance of coming to God. Even those people, God has a plan and a desire that they would come to Jesus Christ and that they'd come to a point of eternal life through Him. That's God's plan and desire. But God does not rule in a manner by which He makes decisions for us. He allows us the freedom to make decisions. And here in Matthew chapter 7, we find our responsibility. We find how we can accept that plan that God has for us, that plan of eternal life. We ask, and we seek, and we knock. We seek the Lord with all of our hearts. We seek Him, and we ask. We ask Him. We go to Him, and we open our hearts, and we begin that relationship with Him. We take that first step and saying, God, I know You've got a great plan for me. I know that You love me so much. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. And my desire would be to be a part of that. My desire would be that that plan that You have for all mankind becomes that plan that You have for me, and one that I will accept and one that I'll live by. Go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Again, this is our responsibility. God has a great plan for our lives. He has a plan for you in your life. God has a plan for you. The question is, are you going to accept that plan? Are you going to begin living by that plan rather than by your own? Are you going to take that step? God has offered His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that you could have eternal life. But if you do nothing with that information, if you do nothing with that information, then you've not accepted that plan. Then you're not living by that plan. God's plan is that you'd have wholeness of life. God's plan is that you would have eternal life. That's the desire that He has, but He allows each one of us the freedom to choose that or not. Here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we find the criteria by which we are able to accept that, by which we're able to live by that plan God has for us. To confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. To confess, which confession is an agreement. We are agreeing with God. Indeed, Your Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord. And by agreeing with that, by confessing with our mouths, Jesus is Lord, we are saying, I agree that that's the case, and He is Lord of me. He is Lord of me. He's my Lord. I am choosing, God, to live by that plan that You have for my life. So to confess Jesus as Lord and to believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, to have that belief and faith, to believe that indeed Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, that He was raised to life again, that God raised Him to life again, to be able to believe that in our hearts and believe that that is the truth. As we do that, as we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, then we shall be saved. We'll have that promise and hope of eternal life, that plan that our loving, loving God has for us all along. I'd encourage you then to accept that plan, to make that the reality in your life. To be in a position where you say, indeed, I know and recognize that God has a plan for me. that He has a plan for my life, and I desire to follow that plan. I desire to follow that plan. If you have questions about that, I'd encourage you to talk to me after the service this morning, to be able to talk about those things and be able to share from the Word that truth of the goodness of God and His love for us, that truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised to life again, to be able to make Him Lord of your own heart and your own life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Great and mighty God, You have loved us so much, and we thank You for that. God, You have a plan for our lives. Father, help us, each one, to desire to live by that plan, to desire to follow that in all parts of life. God, Your plan is one of hope and a future. It's one of blessing. Father, it's one of life. We thank You for that plan. God, we give ourselves to You in all things, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.